Good morning. When God created man on the sixth day, his last day of work during the creation, he truly saved his best for last. Psalm 139 and 14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Our bodies, which God made, are indeed incredible, carefully curated, masterfully made, and amazingly assembled. Our God is worthy of praise for many reasons, and the psalmist David acknowledges in Psalm 139 that the human body is one of those reasons. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Only God can make a human body capable of the following. And I'm going to go through a list very fast, so if you're trying to keep notes, I'm not going to tell you not to try, but I wouldn't try. A red blood cell can circumnavigate your body in under 20 seconds. Nerve impulses travel at over 249 miles per hour. A sneeze generates a wind of 100 miles an hour, while a cough leaves your mouth at 60. A reminder to also cover your mouth while you cough and sneeze. Our heart beats around 100,000 times every day, or about 30 million times in a year. Our eyes can distinguish up to 10 million color surfaces and take in more information than the largest telescope known to man. Our lungs inhale over 2 million liters of air every day without even thinking. When we touch something, we send a message to our brain at 124 miles an hour. We make around 1 to 1.6 liters of saliva a day. In 1 square inch of our hand, we have 9 feet of blood vessels, 600 pain sensors, 9,000 nerve endings, 36 heat sensors, and 75 pressure sensors. Babies start dreaming before they're even born. The heart pumps about 1 million barrels of blood during an average lifetime. That's enough to fill 2 oil supertankers. The aorta, the largest artery in the body, is about the diameter of a garden hose. When you blush, your stomach also reddens. The surface area of a human lung is equal to that of a tennis court. Your body contains enough iron to make a spike strong enough to hold your weight. Humans shed about 600,000 particles of skin every hour, about 1.5 pounds a year. By 70 years of age, an average person will have lost 105 pounds of skin. The tiniest muscle, the stapedius of the middle ear, is just about 1/5 of an inch long. A fetus acquires fingerprints at 12 weeks old in the womb. If you blink one eye, you move over 200 muscles. In 24 hours, the blood in the body travels a total of 12,000 miles. That's 4 times the width of North America. There are 137 million light-sensitive cells in the eye's retina, and the fluid that fills the eye is changed 15 times per day. The human hand contains 3 main nerves, 2 major arteries, and 27 different bones. More of the body is devoted to controlling the hands than any other part of your body. Your ribs move about 5 million times a year, every time that you breathe. At birth, we have over 300 bones. As we grow up, some of those bones begin to fuse together. As a result, an adult has only 206. And we could list hundreds and hundreds and hundreds more amazing things about the human body. Truly, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. All of that, and there's still a portion of the world's population that this all came from random evolution. Time and chance. This wasn't by chance. This wasn't random, the result of millions of years of happenstance. The human body took the skill of a master designer, an omniscient an awesome and a loving God. Psalm 139 and 14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. This morning, I'd like to consider for a few minutes God's incredible power, His creativity, and His purpose for us, His children, His creation. Let's take a look at what it means to be fearfully and wonderfully made. In the previous verse, in that 139th Psalm, in verse 13, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." He knit us together, individually within our mother's womb. We were made wonderfully complex. God knew us as He was painstakingly designing us with such loving care. In this context, fearfully and wonderfully made means that each individually is intricately made by God, uniquely created by God. It emphasized the idea that God's craftsmanship in forming and designing human beings is truly extraordinary. 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 And awe-inspiring. And here are some key points of what that means. What does it mean to be fearfully and wonderfully made? Number one, it means an intricate design. On September 5th, 1977, the Voyager 1 space probe was launched from Cape Canaveral aboard a Titan Centaur rocket. Since then, it has been speeding through space at an average speed of 38,000 miles per hour, averaging almost a million miles per day since 1977. Voyager 1 is the first spacecraft to travel beyond the heliopause into interstellar space, and NASA continuously calculates its distance from Earth. As of 2019, the Voyager 1 was 13,490,006,617 miles from Earth and counting. Pretty amazing, isn't it? We can still know exactly where that is still to this day. We can check in on it. We can ping in on where this thing is that's billions of miles away. As amazing as that is, it's not as amazing as you, as me, as a human created by God. The Voyager 1 will at some point run out of gas. They're saying anywhere between the year of 2025, next year, and 2034, it will run out of gas and cease to be, no longer be able to travel. And at that point, it will travel to more than 15 billion miles. But guess what? Even at 15 billion miles, that is less than half the length of the DNA strands in your body. Half the length of the DNA strands in your body, if all the DNA strands in your body were stretched from end to end. The cumulative length of DNA in all the cells in your body is about twice the diameter of the solar system, over 32 billion miles. Psalm 139 acknowledges God's deliberate design of each person's body, mind, and soul, the complexity and the precision of God's awesome creation. Number two, God's work. Do you realize how awesome, how powerful, and how unbelievable God is as the creator of the world and everything in it? God and only God could have completed these marvelous works. God and only God could have made each and every one of us as impressive as we are. Big and small, God made us all. There probably aren't many people this morning who are particularly fond of flies. If I were to ask you to raise your hand and ask if you liked flies, I'm going to guess outside of a few jokesters there, not a single hand would be raised at the question, do you like flies? Anyone get excited when you're on a long road trip and a fly somehow got inside the car? Does that excite you? Does that make the trip fun for you when there's just one fly and it just won't leave? How many of you are looking forward to a nap maybe later this afternoon and are excited about the potential that there's a fly in the house and it might land on your open mouth as you try to rest? No one in here likes flies. Most of us probably wonder why God even made them in the first place. But have you ever thought about God's creative genius and how He made just the ordinary housefly? Flies are impressive. According to British scientists, the fly is the most talented aerodynamicist on the planet, superior to any bird, any bat, or any bee. A housefly can make 6 turns a second, hover, fly straight up, fly straight down, fly backwards, do somersaults, land on the ceiling, and perform various other show-off maneuvers. And it has a brain smaller than a sesame seed. The scientists also note that flies are loaded with sensors. In addition to their compound eyes, which allow panoramic imagery and are excellent at detecting motion, they have wind-sensitive hairs and antennae. They also have 3 light sensors called ocelli on tops of their heads, which tell them which way is up. Roughly 2/3 of a fly's entire nervous system is devoted to processing visual images. Flies are impressive, but yet flies are only flies. If God put so much wisdom into ordinary houseflies, imagine what it means to know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Which brings us to awe and reverence. When we consider the depth and complexity of our own being, we need to be filled with a sense of wonder and amazement at God's creative power. God knew what he was doing in Genesis chapter 1. And he still knows what he's doing today with you and with me. His creative power in creating the heavens and the earth is awe-inspiring. To believers, faithful followers, and Christians, we know that God is the master architect. He is the creator. And we know how awesome of a job that he did and that he still does today. But it is good to remind ourselves from time to time. And that's what we are doing this morning, hopefully. We are remembering, as David remembered, that the praise is to God. I will praise you. I didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. We can cultivate, we can discipline, we can kind of subtly change our human bodies, our physical appearances, our abilities, the things that the human body can do. But we didn't create them, and we certainly can't replicate it. Our God is an awesome God, and his power, creativity, intelligence is also awesome. Let's consider for just a minute the S-U-N, sun. Evolutionists like to claim that our sun is merely just an average star, just another sun among billions. There is no reason to believe our sun is unusual, or so they say. After all, if our sun were special, that might support the idea that a benevolent creator created us. Nevertheless, our sun is special. Our sun's different than any other sun that's out there. Stars come in a variety of sizes, colors, and temperatures. As a single class G star, our sun is very well suited to support life on Earth. Most other stars are not. For example, the most common stars, about 75% of all stars, are stars called red dwarfs. These stars commonly emit flares. Eruptions of superheated material, radiation, and charged particles blasted out into space. Large enough flares can sterilize any planets orbiting their stars. Although our sun occasionally releases small flares, they're gentle compared to what we see elsewhere. We've seen other stars emit what are called super flares, up to 10 million times more energetic than those from our sun. Even among sun-like stars, our sun is unique. In a study of 83,000 solar-type stars, 148 erupted in just 120 days of observing. If you extend this rate out, and each solar-type star would have more than 50% chance of erupting every 100 years. Over thousands of years, a typical sun-like star should have multiple massive eruptions. Yet, there is no evidence of our sun ever emitting such a solar flare. As the study's summary noted, the flares on our sun are thousands of times punier than those of other stars. But why is this? Secular astronomers are scratching their heads. Why? Why is our sun so special? But creationary astronomers, Bible-believing Christians, aren't surprised by this. Isaiah 45:18 says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Since our sun was designed by a masterful creator to support life, we shouldn't be surprised that it supports life very well. Our earth, sun, and solar system are fearfully and wonderfully made to be our home. And in that home, we are to proclaim the glory of their creator. Number four, uniqueness. The truth is that there is something special and remarkable about every human being. How boring would this world be if we were all the same? How boring would our families be if we were all the same? How boring would the church be if all of us were the same? Every one of you here today, every single one of you here today is special, remarkable, and amazing. And for a lot of reasons. But the number one reason is God made you. Which brings us to number five, praise and gratitude. In essence, fearfully and wonderfully made reminds us that human life is a divine creation, filled with beauty, filled with complexity, and filled with uniqueness. It encourages us to appreciate and honor both our own individuality and the diversity of humanity, recognizing that God's creative work is a cause for celebration, and it's also a cause for thanksgiving. Praise be to God for that. I didn't evolve into who I am. You didn't evolve into who you are. God created me with a purpose. God created you with a purpose. The blueprints of me are similar to other human beings, but they're not exactly the same. I am unique and so are you. Praise God for that. The human body is a unique design of multiple systems that all work intricately together. The cardiovascular system gives you energy to move. The muscular system gives you the ability to move, lift, and hold things. The digestive system processes food into energy and discards waste. The immune system keeps you healthy. The hormonal system determines your gender. The eyes cause you to see. The nose lets you smell. The tongue and mouth let you eat and taste. The ears enable you to hear. And your skin enables you to feel textures. Who else could have created all that to work as well as it does other than God? We have the ability to encounter an incredibly diverse world with an equally diverse human body. All of these systems, plus many more, were uniquely made, designed to make you who you are. To be fearfully and wonderfully made means that God created you on purpose. All of us here today have the innate ability to discern right from wrong. That's what separates us from animals, right? We can tell the difference between right and wrong. We can think on our own. He didn't design us to do our own thing. He didn't design us to wander aimlessly. He didn't design us to stress out over the things of this world. He designed us with a purpose. And that purpose is to desire Him. To seek after the one who created us. To love Him. He created us to love Him. He also created us to glorify Him in all the things that we do. We were made carnally with a carnal hole that only one thing fits. We are designed with an intense need for our Creator, for our God. Without a relationship with Him, the right one, we will always be searching for something else to fill that void, something to gratify those wants and desires. Drugs, alcohol, food, money, sex, material goods, occupations, hobbies, travel, success, fame, and the list goes on of all those other things that we try to fill that gap with. We try to fill the space up with those things to feel like we are fulfilled, like we have purpose. None of those things give us purpose. None of those things will ever fill it. They are like round pegs in square holes. The vacant areas at the edges will still leave us desiring more of something else. Sadly, many of us and many of those in the world will continue to try to find something to fill those gaps. to shove mismatched pegs into that hole. A little of this, a little of that, hoping that one day we will feel complete. Maybe one day I'll have enough money to feel safe and secure. Maybe one day I'll find that perfect spouse that will complete me, that I won't need to try to change and won't try to change me. Maybe one day I'll have that dream sports car and then I'll be happy finally. Maybe I'll be on television and people will know my name. Maybe I'll be the best in my field and people will seek me out for advice and counsel. Brothers and sisters, that one day will never come and we don't need to be seeking after that one day. Not if our priorities and goals don't align with our Creator and His perfect plan. To be fearfully and wonderfully made means we look to God, not everyone else. Isaiah 64:7-8 says, "And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter, and all we are the work of your hand." Fortunately, God made a way for us to seek him and find him by sending his very own son to provide the way. When we do finally realize that without God we are unable to make the most of ourselves, that's when things start to make sense. That's when things really start to change. That's when we feel that sense of purpose and fulfillment when we find the path that Jesus has laid out for us. We can't make ourselves into what God wants us to be without God's help. We can't create something pleasing to God without first humbling ourselves before Him. We can't become acceptable unless we first present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Objective fact, clay cannot mold itself. Clay cannot mold itself, no matter how hard it trays. If I go into an art studio and throw down a lump of clay onto a potter's wheel and then walk away and come back in 30 days, what do I expect to find on that potter's wheel? A lump of clay. A dried up lump of clay. A no longer able to be molded lump of clay, most likely. Brittle and broken. It's going to need even more work then. Clay needs a potter to take shape. Clay needs a potter to be something useful. Clay needs a potter to truly have a purpose. And fact number two, it's up to the potter, not the clay, what that shape is going to be, what that use is going to be, what the purpose truly is. A lump of clay can't sit down on the potter's wheel and say, "I'd like to be a coffee mug." That's not up to the lump of clay. It's up to the potter. God the potter doesn't only mold his clay, but he also knows what his original design of you was. We as the clay need to trust his plan, not question his plan. Seek to understand his plan every day and trust in the potter's timing. God foresaw even those defects and uses them for good when we look to him. Sometimes in this fallen world, people are born with birth defects that disrupt one or more of the intricate systems of the body. Even our weaknesses are fearfully and wonderfully made. A blind person can develop hearing beyond the normal capacity. Conjoined twins can teach us about getting along with one another, for they have to do it 24/7. Someone born without arms develops the ability to use their feet in wondrous ways. Another born without legs develops the upper body strength to get around smoothly. We all have weaknesses and sometimes make us feel like we are of no use. But God's grace is sufficient to cover our weaknesses. More than that, God's power is made what in our weakness? Perfect. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. What might look like a weakness or a defect to some is actually what makes that person powerful. It's what makes that person useful, what makes that person special. Most of us in here, if you were asked, could probably name at least one physical characteristic that you wish that you had been born with or without. Boy, I wish I had this, or I wish I was this, or I wish I didn't have this, or wasn't born with this. We could go around the room probably for a while and talk about the things we wish you could change. It's difficult to imagine that these imperfections are there for a purpose and are part of God's master design. Yet when the psalmist wrote of God's creative marvel in the womb, he said to the Lord, "You formed my inward parts, and your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And with that, I will praise you." I will praise you. If we could accept our bodily imperfections as part of God's master plan for us, what a difference it would make in our outlook on life. What a difference that would make on our outlook in life if we could accept our bodily imperfections as part of God's master plan. I stand before you today, bald, with no hair, bad teeth, bad eyes, and plantar fasciitis. I struggle daily with pride, with stubbornness, and with arrogance. I don't know how I struggle with arrogance still, even though I'm bald with bad eyes and bad teeth, but yet somehow I do. I am imperfect, but yet I am perfectly made. And you all can say the same thing as well. I am imperfect, but yet I am perfectly made. God made me exactly how I was supposed to be made. God loves me and He's given me a purpose, and the same is true for all of us today. Those weaknesses are made to keep us humble. Weaknesses point us towards leaning on God's strength, trusting His plan, and remembering our purpose. To be fearfully and wonderfully made means that we are His workmanship, means that we ought to do good works. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There seems to be a trend in the last few ways for what are called artisanal products. Artisanal products, coffee shops, bakeries, and the like. When I was drafting up this sermon, I had to look up what artisanal truly meant. I guess I'd always assumed it just meant misshapen and expensive, but turns out artisanal has an actual definition. Artisanal actually means traditional, non-mechanically made. A person made this, not a machine. When you walk into an artisanal shop, you're going to be faced with things that were made by hand, not by a machine. It may have some imperfections, but those imperfections are proof of authenticity. You know by those imperfections that they were made by hand, made specially, made with extra effort. Similarly, we human beings are not the product of a factory. We're not the process of simple copy and paste. Our distinctive physical individuality is intended. We have been made by the ultimate artisan. Our God has produced billions of human bodies, but we are not mass-produced. You talk about a paradox, you talk about a relativism, a figure of speech. God has produced billions, but yet we are not mass-produced. We've each been handcrafted with infinite care. David says in Psalms 139 that we've been knitted together in our mother's womb. Now, even if you've never knitted a stitch of anything in your life, you've probably watched others, you've been around it, you're familiar with the process. Knitting is a wonderfully hands-on process. And each and every stitch individually knitted by hand is done with care, done painstakingly, done with thought. You can't just zone out and knit. You have to be focused on every stitch. Being handcrafted by God means none of us have ever come about by accident. Our body is not random. Our lives are not arbitrary. Our existence is not insignificant. We may know people who are not planned by their parents, which is a sensitive issue, but when it comes to God, no one is unplanned. Every one of us is the product of God's deliberate choice. However many people there turn out to be in the whole human history, not one of them will have ever been an accident. We are the product of God's intention. He purposed our bodies. They are what He intended them to be. We can affirm, as David does, even of these imperfect bodies, that God made them as He intended. And because of that, we praise Him. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, We were meant to do the will of God. We were made to do the will of God. We were made to love like God loved, forgive like God forgave us, and to be faithful as God is faithful. As we close out this morning, a reminder for all of us, as we offer the gospel invitation, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. As wonderful, as amazing, as incredible as these human bodies are, they were not built to last. They were not built to be the best body we ever have. You know, we've spent a chunk of our day today talking about how awesome the human body is, how incredible it is. And then Paul goes off and describes it this way, our lowly body. In another passage, you remember Paul describes it as a tent. You're going to tell me that this incredible human body that can do so much, that is so unique, so powerful, is just a tent? Is just a lowly body? Yes. In the grand scheme of things, in the scale of eternity, it is just that. They're going to break apart and fail. They're going to corrupt, break down, and crumble. If we don't trust in Jesus, believe God's word, and confess our sins, these physical bodies are going to be the best bodies we ever have. And I think it's probably unanimous that all of us in here don't want this body to be the best body that we ever have. You remember how none of you raised your hands for the who likes flies question? Raise your hand if you woke up this morning and some part of your body was aching. And unanimous raising of hands. Something cracked, something twinged, something reminded you of the frailty of the human body. If we don't repent and get baptized for the remission of our sins, the tent we're in will be all that we get. If we don't live faithfully, do good works, and obey God's commandments until the end, we're not going to get to live in an eternal, glorious body. Imagine how amazing our eternal bodies are going to be, considering how amazing these tents we currently occupy are. Imagine how awesome our heavenly home is going to be, considering how awesome our current home is. Let's all do what we need to do to get to heaven. Let's spur each other on to good works. Let's encourage one another while it is still called today. Let's love. Let's forgive. Let's be gracious as our Father in heaven shows us daily. We sing the song, let's live the song. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our citizenship is not down here. Our citizenship is in heaven. You know, every 4 years on this planet, we're reminded of how bad this country is. How horrible the world that we live in is. How corrupt our society is. Our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Set our eyes on things above, not on things below. Let's praise God, for we are wonderfully and fearfully made. Marvelous are your works. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. If you have need of the gospel invitation today, please accept the sweet call of love and mercy as we stand and as we sing the final selected number.